It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. And I'm feeling good.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Shout at the Oval podcast. And what a whirlwind it has been since we last spoke in the wake of that 1-0 defeat at home to Lorn, which triggered a series of events which eventually led to the resignation of Mick McDermott and Paul Miller from first team duties as manager and assistant manager, although they do retain their place on the board of directors. I think it is a change that's welcome for all. We now have Rodney McMacaree at the helm. He's got off to a flying start with his first two games resulting in two wins. I obviously don't know how today has gone. And I think that we should all definitely get behind Rodney and his team and hope that they can take Glentoran to the very summit of Irish League football. So fingers crossed that we can salvage something from this season. This week's guest is a former centre forward turned left back, which is fairly unusual, but safe to say he made the position his own. It is Jason Hill, a player who absolutely everyone at the Oval rated, and that's not always the case. Jason talks to me about his career, the highs and lows, from winning absolutely everything there was to win, to being transfer listed by Alan McDonald, fighting back from that and winning the Irish Cup to complete his medal collection, and then the fact he retired at the early age of 32, which he was into detail about. A really good guest, great guy, someone who would run through brick walls for Glentoran, and it was just great to have him on. Jason has asked me to plug the fact that he is running the Belfast Marathon in May for the Corey Aukey Foundation. The Corey Aukey Foundation was set up as last year on the 2nd of June, Corey flew out to Spain on a family holiday and tragically lost his life in a pool incident. He drowned in a swimming pool, and his family have set up this foundation to try and raise money. Jason is a very close family friend, and he is running this marathon. It's just a grueling task on its own, so fair play to him. Try and raise much needed funds for this foundation, which I will go into at the end if you listen to the outro. I'm going to get some Just Giving links, some GoFundMe links or whatever is going to be set up, and I will certainly plug that on social media on this podcast. I'm sure all Glen men will support Jason for his efforts in running the marathon and a very worthwhile cause. So without further ado, I will let you get on to the episode. It's this week's episode of the Shout at the Oval podcast with Jason Hill. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Shout at the Oval podcast. And this week's guest is a former centre forward turned left back. And he's a man who got a testimonial at Glentoran, which is something that not too many players can say. It is, of course, Jason Hill. Jason, welcome to the podcast. It's great to speak to you.
Thank you for inviting me on. I'm looking forward to it.
So Jason, let's start really where I start with all my guests, and I know we've been talking sort of off-air there for a bit, but it's just really about how much you get to see Glentoran now. What do you think how things are going at the minute, the current situation? Good to have a guest on finally after a couple of wins.
Yeah. To be honest, I think the last couple of results, they're games Glentoran should be winning. I think the proof in the pudding is going to be Monday night against Crusaders to see how far we've came. But come back onto the Mick situation before that, I actually felt sorry for Mick. I think, as we said just before we came on air, was, you know, they're losing games 1-0, and results weren't really going their way. But looking at the league table, I think if they win their two or three games in hand, they go second. So I don't think it's as bad as everybody's saying it is. And if they can go on a run now of 4, 5, 6 games unbeaten, I think I'll be in there in the mix, you know, definitely through Europe. And listen, everybody seems to be beating everybody, so anything can happen.
Are you amazed at like the change in the league now? Not even just with the full time teams and stuff, but even how competitive it is. Because thinking back to your playing days, a second place finish in the cup and a cup, like winning the League Cup and finishing second, just wasn't good enough for Glentoran, and you sort of, you would have lost your job. Whereas now, that would be a good finish.
I think Glentoran need to get back to competing. That's what I need to say. You know, Glentoran need to get back to competing and winning leagues. Been a long time and too long for Glentoran not to win the league. Back in what you're saying, the good thing about the league at the minute is like part-time teams are competing with full-time teams. I know that some of them teams have changed at 3 nights per week, probably doing their own stuff away from the football clubs. But, you know, you've got teams in and around each other that can beat everybody. Crusaders seem to be up and down. And they're sort of full-time too. But back on, I think the part-time teams have made a major play in this year. You know, beating teams, full-time teams, or competing with a full-time team. But listen, it's exciting. It's exciting, you know, it's exciting league, exciting season. And, you know, it's a coin throw to see who can win the league.
We'll get on to your career. And I want to take it way back to growing up. And what are your sort of earliest football memories?
Earliest football memories? I started playing for the BB, the 33rd BB. Played for the Wheatfield Primary School up in Ballysall. I think I started playing in P4, playing for the BB when I was P4. And I just loved playing with my friends. And it was a kickabout on Saturday for the BB. And that just followed me right through to P7. And then on first year, I remember going to the boys' model. And I never got into the first week's team when the team started. And I remember putting myself up as right back. Our right midfield, because it was only possession left when you had to put your hands up. So I ended up playing my first game for the boys man in right midfield. Couldn't kick a ball with my right foot. Still can't kick a ball with my right foot. And then through time, ended up playing centre forward for the boys model. Made a couple of good friends. Then I went on with meeting them friends. I was with like Bill Maxwell, who actually came through the ranks with me at Glentoran. He actually left for Crusaders. And me and him were supposed to go to Crusaders, and we were playing under Jordy Bowden and Johnny Jamieson. But I stayed. But he then took me to the club that he was born for in the Shankill Northern Ireland Club, coached by Jimmy Lowe and Jordy Orr, who's not with us anymore, God bless him. But then that then went right up under 16s. And then at under 16 level, the way it worked, I could go back because of the date of my birth, get back and play under 16 level again. So the Glens, Billy Spence, the late Billy Spence, and Lim Fishman for me, Stick Thompson, and Stick Thompson's still around. And I had a choice between Limfield and Glentoran. And I looked at the two clubs and where Limfield were then. As you remember back way then, you had a lot of first teamers playing second team football. And Billy Spence said to me, that, give me 6 months and you'll play second team under 18 football. So I looked at the whole situation and I went and signed for Glentoran, and me and Maxie, Bill Maxwell, went and signed for Glentoran, and like we won everything under John Spence and Billy Spence at the under 16 levels, and you know, did some team. And then went to under 18 football with Davey Taylor, went and played under 18 football. And then believe it or not, I took a break from football and around that in that time, for about 4 to 6 months. Didn't mean to, probably the world caught up with me then. And then after that, I came back and played under 18 football and gave me win everything. We had some team. Then after that, I think sort of 17, 18, second team football was really competitive back then. Yeah, with Jordy Bowden and Johnny Jamieson. Wee Norman that took us, and you know, you were playing against first team players every single week. It was a great experience for me, and I know that's not the same it is now. It's a lot of younger kids within the under 20/second team football, but we went, you know, you had like me, Andy Waterworth played, funny enough, first team players, you know, Sean Ward came through the ranks with me just shortly after me, and Chris Pike, Stuartie Long, Damien McLaughlin, you know, the list moves on. And the big thing as well with the second team football then, you know, you had players coming back from injury like Scott Young and Paul Lehman and Michael O'Neill, you know, with us, and it was a great experience for us as kids looking up to them guys and, you know, seeing what it was like to play first team football. And, you know, the biggest person probably that helped us is then was Chris Walker, had a bad injury, and I think he struggled for a long time to get back into the first team. And he helped us as young Glentoran players so much, and you know, I have a lot of Chris Walker still.
It was always said that when you were at Glentoran that you grew up a Linfield fan. Was there any truth to that?
Yes, that is the truth. And, you know, I still get stick to this day from mates. I was a Linfield fan. Born a Linfield fan, died a Glenman.
I remember it always being said, but we never would have known it for your celebrations against Linfield. Is that why they were so big, such celebrations?
Well, see, to be honest, the celebrations against Linfield was more the stick that I took. Listen, I can take a stick, a bit of crack, but when I start getting a wee bit personal, that's when I can't take it. So that, I think that's where them celebration come. And I think growing up as well at under 16 level, you know, once I joined Glentoran under 16 level, even playing for the Shankill the years before that, you know, it was always a big game against Linfield and the Glen back then. And our Shankill team were probably the best in the country at the time. And we beat the Glens, we beat Linfield, but the battle against Linfield and Glentoran was special. But moving on to under 16 level, when we're playing Linfield v Glentoran, it was a big two game to us. And that's where I started learning what it meant to play for Glentoran. And Billy Spence and John Spence rammed that right into us as a team. You know, beat these no matter what.
It was probably quite difficult to break into the first team in those days. Not only just because the Glens had a lot of good players, as you were saying, they were playing down when they were injured and stuff. But I think you were only allowed 3 subs on the bench back then. And opportunities were probably limited.
I remember the first game, it was, like, I was in and out of, you know, training with the first team quite often. And Roy Coyle, Gaffer, Coyler, used to call a couple of us over. And Jordy Bowden, because we used to train, believe it or not, in the car park in the Oval while they were training on the Oval pitch with the car lights on. It's just, like, high times have changed. And Coyler used to call a couple of us over to make the numbers for 11-11. And it was then you knew the standard that you had to get to. But I remember one of my first debuts against Linfield. And then I got my contract after that. Breaking into that team, you know, you Paul Egan, Colin Nixon, Mark Lindelling, Gary Smith, Scott Young, Michael O'Neill was still there at the time, Tim McCann, Darren Lockhart, Darren Armour, Michael Holliday, you know, the list goes on. So it was for a striker, you know, it was very, very difficult for me to break in at that time. So it was, yeah.
And you left the Glens then and moved to Ards in 2005, but that was at your own request. What was that sort of conversation like?
Well, I wasn't at my own request. So basically I signed a 2-year contract after that Linfield game. That was the Linfield game, last game of the season. We were 1-0 up, I think, and Linfield ended up winning 2-1. I can't remember the next score, but they ended up winning 2-1 and win the league. And again, another great experience for me that, you know, to win the league or watch Linfield win the league, because I never wanted to see that again on a pitch. But I left, so I signed a 2-year contract, and then that first year of the contract, I never played. I was in a couple of squads. I went to get a couple of minutes here and there, and I needed first team football. And I remember pre-season, Roy Coyle phoning me, and I think again, Billy Spence went to Ards, Jordy Neal was at Ards, Gary Hillis was at Ards, Raymond Morrison was at Ards, and then had a couple of other offers in and around the Irish League. I think Distillery, when they were half decent, Paul Kirk gave me a call. There was 3 or 4 teams, and I looked at the situation again, and I said, where would it progress more? And I remember Roy Coyle phoning me, and he says, me and him agreed, look, it'd be good for me to go and play first team football. And I just looked at the Glentoran connection back there at Arge, and my relationship with Billy Spence especially, and I thought that was the best place for me. And Andy Waterworth was there also, and you had Subi Campbell, people like that. I just thought that was the best for me to go ahead with my career. But then on when I signed for Glentore, or sorry, for Ards then, I remember this clearly, that Roy Coyle phoned me up and he says, Jason's son, as he says, he called everybody son, you'll be back at this club one day. And that stuck with me all right through that season. And then, I had a good season that year. Andy Waterworth got injured halfway through the season, what really crippled us that year as Ards. We got relegated, but I knew I was already signing for Glentore through conversations probably back in March. And listen, once I knew Glentore were in for me, I went and met Paul Miller after the last 10 seasons. Agreed a deal with Paul Miller when he re-signed me. And then after that, I was in heaven again.
Were you surprised when you got the call off, Wendy, that your return to Glentore would be so soon after leaving?
I was a surprise. I heard rumours that there was, clubs in for me and big clubs in for me. I think I scored 13 to 15 goals that season for a team that was relegated. I heard that there was clubs in for me. But with my relationship with Glentore, I sort of heard through the grapevine that they wanted to sign me. It was actually the first conversation I had was with Tom Dick, believe it or not, the Glentore chairman back at the time. Don't want to get anybody in trouble. I'm not going to say exact names and dates, but I knew very early on that I was going to Glentore.
In that first season at Glentore, then you signed as a centre forward and somehow you then transformed into a left back. And as they say, the rest is history. Talk me through that one, because it's usually
Again, what actually happened there was, I remember my first game was at Europe against the Swedish team. We done really, really well against them. It might have been Brown. And one day, Gary Hamilton just signed for the club. Kyle Neely just signed for the club. It was in that exact year. And again, I was looking at me going, oh my goodness, I've done the same again. So I played the first couple of games centre forward. And to be honest, I struggled a wee bit in terms of confidence. And I remember one day taking me away, just hitting balls in the net from 6 yards out. And I remember my first goal, I think, was against the Stinra. I'd done okay. And then obviously Gary Hamilton, Michael Holliday, Chris Morgan, and again, me. So, I would have found it difficult to get into the team. I needed a good run of games to probably get my confidence and stuff up. But then I remember, I think Mark Glendenny got injured and Kay Neal was injured. And I think Gary Smith was actually then left back a few games. And Wendy can't remember us because I've had this conversation with him. I remember we were playing Glenavon away. It was my first match at left back. And got into the car park, Wendy called me over and he says, "You're playing left back today." And I says, "I near passed out." But I was just glad to play football. And I went with Dylan and we'll win that game. And then the funny story about that is we played, I think, Drogheda in the St. Tanta Cup on the Monday night. And again, after 20 minutes, I got sent off because two bad passes from Sean Ward, me diving in, two yellow cards after 20 minutes. So my second game was left back, I was sent off. And then I was in and out of the team right up until the end of that season. Then Wendy left and then Alan McDonald came in. And then after Alan McDonald came in, again, it was me, Kyle Neal. Me and Kyle Neal were great, great mates off the pitch and still are great mates. So it was me and Kyle Neal. And it actually worked out. Alan McDonald put me. I think Kyle Neal was also playing in front of Mark Glendenning at times the season before. And he put me in left back and Kyle Neal in front of me. And that year we had a great relationship. We came second. I think we were unbeaten from Christmas right through to the end of the season. I think we lost the league by a point or two against Linfield. And again, I just kicked on after that. Loved that.
In that first season, the Glens, it was 2006, 2007, and the Glens were flying at the start of that season, and we got the first trophy in the bag. It was around, must have been November time, it would be Cliftonville in the League Cup final. But obviously in the semi-final,
I was on the windy, yeah.
Yeah, and in the semi-final, you'd scored a penalty you quite enjoyed.
I still enjoy it. No, if I remember that, memory serves me right. I think Kyle Neal missed a penalty during the 90 minutes. And I remember when they asking everybody to stick their hands up who wanted a penalty. And I stopped being a striker and obviously hitting penalties previous. You know, I felt I had to stick my hand up. I remember Kyle Neal saying, oh, don't fancy us, don't fancy us. And Wendy sort of says, just strike your ball, just strike your foot for the ball, be all right. And but just whatever happened, I ended up taking the fifth penalty. And I remember walking up and I remember the stick that I was getting from the cop that night. Everything, it's like slow motion. Sometimes I just showed my wee boy it a couple of years ago, and it's like even on the YouTube thing, it's slow motion me walking up to it. And I think Willow McDonough hit the one before me. I'm not sure, I can't remember exactly. And I also scored a couple of penalties against Alan Mammoth previous and under 16 level. So again, that all came into my head, and I remember putting the ball down in the, and if you watch that back, the ball moves and I have to go and place it again. And I knew where I was hitting it. I watched every penalty and where the keeper was going and stuff like that. And I knew I was scoring. And then the celebration, obviously, where I spoke about that. So
in the final, it would be Cliftonville. That was a game that were, it was the first time I think the League Cup finals played on Saturday. And it was a game we were probably lucky to keep 11 men on the pitch. I think Willow McDonald probably should have been sent off that game. Yeah, but we ran out 1-0 winners. Do you remember much from the game itself?
I do. Actually, I played left midfield that day, and I think Kyle played behind me. And I remember when they just saying, just hit the ball in the box. You get the ball, get it out of your feet and put it in the box. And that's what it done. And I think it done it. I think Michael had a couple of headers that day. And I remember as well, like Clintonville played brilliant that day. You know, another day they could probably beat us. But, you know, Gary Hamilton, I think, scored the winner that day, if memory serves me right. And I remember after the game, I was dead. You know, all the players were dead. And I remember speaking to Libra after it, and everybody was just dead in terms of energy levels. Players gave everything out there. And listen, what a game to win, you know what I mean, for a first trophy back at Glentoran.
It was, I need to mention too, actually, in that semi-final, I went to Ashfield, and one of my mates, one of the teachers, technology teacher, was a big blue man. One of my mates was winding him up and started doing mock commentary of your penalty, and you got him kicked out of technology. So, I know he'll be listening, so he can thank you for that one.
No problem.
I had Gary Smith on the podcast last week, and he was saying about, and we were saying about how the Glens finished 8 points off Linfield, but won a trophy and qualified for Europe that season. But it wasn't enough to save Wendy's job. Looking back on it now, if you look at how competitive the league is now, we mentioned it earlier, that would probably be enough to let have a manager stay on.
Oh, 100%. But I think if you look back to that season, I remember Boxing Day. I was on the bench at Boxing Day. And I remember, I think we were 3 or 4 points ahead of Linfield at that time. I'm near sure.
We're 5 points.
Yep, I remember that. But I remember Tim McCann too, having a chance in the last 5 or 10 minutes. A good chance. And he missed it, or keeper saved it. I can't remember exactly what. And in fact, that would have been the difference, I think, of us pushing on to go on and win the league. I'm not blaming Tim McCann by any stretch, but I think if we had won that game, it would have pushed us on then to go on and win the league. And then we had a wee dip in form, and I think, remember the last game up in Portadown or that? I don't think there was rumours going about after that game that there was talk of Wendy leaving and stuff like that. But again, finishing second, winning the trophy, getting into Europe, you know, for the last 10 years, Glentoran probably got a bit your hand off of that.
Alan McDonald then came in as manager after a bit of a fiasco involving Roy Walker, because the Glens never seem to do things easy. And we sadly lost Alan. It's approaching 11 years now, but he was a great man. You know, he was obviously the last title winning manager with Glentoran. What was he like to play under?
Listen, I have my issues with Alan, obviously, with him putting me on the transfer list. And it actually took me to come out of football. They actually realise you know, how difficult it is for managers. And as players, you know, one thing I can take away now as a player who went into sort of, you know, bit of coaching and looking at managers now, you know, players take it personally. And it's not personal. You know, a manager has a decision to make. And I regret the way I reacted under Al McDonald now. But as a, you know, 25, 26 year old, you know, it was difficult at times. You know, Alan, you know, we won the league under Alan under his second season, I think, memory serves me right. I think the first season was finished second. But again, from sort of September right through to the end of the year, I think we were unbeaten or lost very few anyway. As a man, you know, Alan's an absolute gentleman. As a coach, you know, he won Glentoran the league. And he knew his stuff. Obviously, I think his experience is Northern Ireland and his, you know, especially QPR. You know, an absolute gentleman. I can't speak highly enough of him.
It was in that season you mentioned, and I do agree. I think that our form in the second half of that season was pretty amazing. To the point where I think if the season had gone on maybe another 2 or 3 weeks, we probably would have won the league. But it was a season that was probably special for you because you won the Player of the Year that year.
Yes, as left back. You know, and that's the other thing that sort of sticks with me is one of the best memories of Glentoran was that season. And I think that season also kicked us on to go on and do what we've done in the second season and win the league, or the second half of that season. I think I win, you know, 70% of all the supporter clubs Player of the Years that year, and it's, yeah, cause, you know, that's one of the special seasons for me, definitely. Yeah,
it was that third season after that we're talking about. At that stage, Alan McDonald had actually built a really good team. He brought in Andy Waterworth, although it didn't really quite happen for him at first. He had a lot of injuries. He brought in Johnny Taylor, who had a really good first season. Promoted Johnny Black from the reserves, brought in Jamie McGovern. So it was good. There was a good team there, and people probably thought we should have run away with it. But we sort of run it close down to the last game of the season. But what are your memories of that season overall? It was a fun season, certainly.
Again, you know, I could probably name you the team, you know, from that. You had Boise as well, David Scullion, big Dino Fitzgerald. What do I remember that season? On a personal level, I was in now, Johnny Black, as you just mentioned. You know, he came in and I think I was suspended at the start of the season, as he usually was. And I remember Johnny Black coming in and he played really well. And I said, man, I'm going to struggle to get my place back here. I remember and then I was in now to the team, and then Johnny had a run of games and then I had a run of games, and, you know, Johnny probably should have kicked on, you know, and then at the end of the season, you know, when we played Cliftonville and beat them 3-0 or 3-1, he's on the bench out there, and Johnny Black. But Johnny Black had a great season that year, real, real great season.
Is it hard to believe, looking back, that that's the last time the Glens won the league? You wouldn't have probably imagined at the time.
No, you wouldn't have, but obviously circumstances, you know, where the clubs was and going through. I far Linfield were ahead of us financially. Obviously Crusaders, Cliftonville. It's really hard to believe it's 11 years since Glentoran won the league. And that's why I think it's important that Glentoran need to win the league very, very soon over the next year or two.
After that season, things were going pretty well. Well, I remember we won the first game 5-0 and we got to the St. Anta Cup final. But it's really the semi-final we should probably talk about. What are your memories of that night in Drogheda when we were really clinging on there in the end, but of course you're on the score sheet?
I remember driving down the bus, and again it was I remember thinking, am I going to play here? And I remember Alan McDonald called me away in a pre-match halfway down to where Dublin. And he called me away when we were getting our pre-match, and he says, Jason, I'm going to play you like mid-centre, midfield. And I went, right, that's a bit strange. I think we played 4-3-3 that night. Me as a left centre midfielder. And again, listen, that's what I remember. I remember flying up the wing, pulling in my right foot and sticking one in the top corner.
Going back on that, it was Paul Lehmann got sent off.
Paul Lehmann and me got sent off.
Oh, yes, that's right. You got sent off. You got sent off quite late on, wasn't it?
I think Lieber got probably sent off after about 70-80 minutes. I got sent off after him. You know, when Lieber got sent off, he was just, oh no. Elliot had one of them games as well, I think. And again, funny story, I remember going on the bus afterwards and everybody patting Elliot and well done, and Alan McDonald said that's what he's paid for. So just what he's saying. But I remember getting sent off, 2 yellow cards, and again, you know, missing the cup final. I remember sitting in the stand with Leaper. And I'm not saying this, but I think we might have made a difference in the final.
Well, what is it with Jokada and you getting red cards?
What does it mean, get red cards for a start?
Yeah, the final in Cork was a disappointing one, really. It was a bit of a shambles with the travel down to Cork to play it, to be honest with you. Our backs were against the wall from minute one in that game. Went down 1-0 up, and then I think they were class.
They were good side. Again, watching from a touchline, you know, the big thing was, I think, you know, like it's a cup final, why is it being played at, you know, the home ground, you know, and the Glenmen probably loved the trip down and stuff like that. Probably been a good way trip for the, you know, for the Glenmen. But we had a chance, 1-0 up, stuff like that. You know, Cork were just that wee bit better on us on the night.
Back to the domestic season, I think that season, people thought that we did have a massive chance of retaining the league, which is obviously something the Glentoran team haven't done in a very, very long time. The squad was certainly better with the signed. Keith Gillespie, Richard Clark, Jimmy Callagher came into the team. But we actually finished third, and Scott Young took over as manager. What was Scotty like to work under? And even, what was that team like to play in? Because obviously, I'm sure you've seen Keith Gillespie coming in and thinking, you know, he's going to take us to another level.
Keith Gillespie, obviously coming in, yes, we all thought that. And Keith, people say Keith had a bad Glentoran, you know, didn't do well at Glentoran. Keith done what he done. He got the ball, got over his feet and put the ball in the box. I think Keith's done really well, actually. What I remember about that season, I remember the pressure of actually saying about retaining the league. I remember with struggles, and I remember Dungannon, I think we could beat Dungannon 3-1. Again, I think I came off injured that game, and I remember the bus being really, really quiet, and then obviously Alan losing his job, and then when Scotty came in, listen, I love Scotty, absolutely loved him. He helped me right through my career, right through from, you know, Glentoran seconds when he was coming back from injury, right through my career. You know, he was always there for on Saturday night when I wasn't playing. You know, he was always there for a chat during training, telling you how to improve your game. He really, really helped me. And again, when he came in, again, we probably should have kicked on. Probably player's fault that Scotty probably lost his job too.
I got to go back actually and talk quick, because I had it in my head for some reason that it was Scott Young who put a lot of players on the transfer list, but it was actually Al McDonald, as you just said. I think it was yourself, and there was multiple others too. I think Richard Clark, Gary Hamilton, Daryl Fordyce. What was that like at the time?
Again, I felt sorry for Alan. I didn't feel sorry for him then, but I feel sorry for him now looking back as a football manager. We all got called in one night, and it was the season that Richard Clark signed, and we were all called in upstairs at the Oval, and we were told how bad the situation was financially. And again, the conversation was, listen, anybody is concerned about your future, give me a call. And then obviously Alan, I think it was me. And this is the thing that, you know, the club were in financial difficulty. You know, me looking at get rid of one or two big earners. But it seemed to be the lower earners. It was me, Jamie McGovern, Grant Gardner, players like that, you know, loads of younger players and stuff like that. But again, looking back as a manager, obviously he wants to keep, you know, players that's, you know, scored goals, blah, blah, blah. And then I was on the transfer list that season. But again, I remember, I think there were two games. I remember Glenn Torn. So I was left out of the whole first team squad because I refused to leave. Didn't want to leave. I spoke to Aubrey Rolfe. He was the chairman back with them. And I says, Aubrey, listen, I'm going to fight for him in place. Then fight for him in place. And I remember pre-season, I was training with the seconds. And again, a big shout out this Spike Hill and Morgo, who was the second team managers then, because again, me going down into the second team training with kids, you know, it was difficult at the start while first team were training across the pitch for you, or off you. They were real, real big help to me. Then I remember Loch Gall. I was playing for the 20s or second team back then on the Saturday. Glenn Torn got beat by Loch Gall at Loch Gall. The next day after that, the Glens had a game on the Sunday against Rangers. And I was asked to come along. I had no tracksuit, no nothing. You know, no club tracksuit at that time. And I went in a pair of jeans or something like that. And that, because I literally had no tracksuit, no nothing. And I remember, you know, again, another wee memory for the game, and it sort of sticks with me, was played about 70 minutes out there and played really, really well. I remember me and Colin Nixon walking around the pitch out there and the Glen men singing my name. And I just thought, that's, you know, something that just sticks in my memory of that game. And then obviously I was in and out of the team, and then, you know, still on the transfer list. And then I think at the end of that season, you had Darrell for days. No, it wasn't, sorry. I think Darrell for days and Gary Hamilton was under Scott Young, I think.
Yeah, no, I think I remember there being, now you've said it, there were two periods where we transfer listed a whole spate of players to try and cut the budget, and sort of felt a bit sorry for Scott Young because he came in, took over, and I think if you could ask any Glen man if they could go back and wish that a previous Glen Torn manager would have the budget available now, it would have been Scott Young, because he's a down the wood Glen man. So it was a difficult situation, especially since I suppose he's probably looking at it like, you know, the Glens were allowed to sign the likes of Keith Gillespie, Richard Clark, Rory Patterson actually was signed him. He didn't play, but signed him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this financial trouble hit. Did it come as a surprise to you, the financial issues?
Look, we knew they were coming. We knew they were coming, you know. We knew they were coming probably from Alan McDonald's, you know, tenure. From that first conversation where I was putting a transfer list. No, it didn't come as a surprise to me. No, definitely not. Not from them. No.
And under Scott Young, there was a couple of good days. We won the League Cup, and we obviously, we went through around Europe. That was a good day. It was at the Oval. We went through on penalties, which was fairly unusual.
I think I scored a penalty that game too.
Yeah, isn't that the game that Marty Murray scored the absolute rocket?
Yes, absolute rocket, yeah. Yep.
So he did have some good days, but obviously his darkest day was, I'm sure, probably one of the darkest days in your career too, which was the game in the Irish Cup against Newington.
Yeah. You always talk about that, do you?
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Oh, I remember that day. I think memory was that we signed a big centre-half, Grecian.
Played about three games.
I think he played two games. At Newington and the Ballymena game. And I remember Colin Nixon being rested for that game. I think it was Colin Nixon or Paul Lehman. I can't remember.
It was Nicky. I had Nicky on the podcast. He talked about it. It was him. Yeah.
So I remember him being rested. I remember first half of that game, the first 20, 25 minutes, me and Stevie Carson up the left. We battered them first. Just couldn't score the first 20 minutes, and I think just before half time he scored. But again, with confidence so low, you know, coming out after that, I remember, you know, one thing that sticks in my head, and Pete, yes, when I spoke to Pete Bailey after, you know, not so long ago, me saying it, you know, we're getting beat 1-0, and me and Marty Murray's a free kick last minute, and me and Marty Murray's going out a free kick. Players' heads went out there, and that should never have happened. It should never have happened.
Scott resigned in the immediate aftermath, and I know how much he loves the Glens and how much that would have hurt him. But then the Glens had to get the next managerial appointment right. And I think they did. They got it right in bringing in Eddie Patterson, who had a proven record at Cliftonville. And he was able to get a few months under his belt to get his feet under the table. What was it like, Eddie, coming in?
See, to be honest, it was quite difficult at the start for us as players. Well, for me personally, and I know a couple of other players, because it was a different personality that we probably weren't used to. I remember him, Seamus, and Tiernan coming in. And again, to be honest, I struggled. Struggled with the transformation of Eddie coming in. Training methods, you know, Seamus and Tiernan taking the training. But at the same time, I probably needed that change of a different voice and a different, you know, different method of training and stuff like that. So the early days, I think a lot of players struggled. But listen, he's won two Irish Cups and three seasons, especially the Irish Cup. The first Irish Cup, but Windsor, not the one at the Oval, 2013, I think it was. We went on. But again, Eddie had his difficulties with, trying to sign players. The budgets weren't there for Eddie. And what he'd done, with the squad of players he had was a credit to Eddie.
Let's talk about that 2012-13 season in Irish Cup. One of my favourite games ever attended. Now, I've been to many Irish Cup finals. I've been to Morgan Day. But that game, and I've spoken to a good few squad members from that team, and it was just brilliant because no one gave us a chance, and it was the celebrations that night were unbelievable.
Well, nobody gave us a chance but us as players and us as a team, and the fact that nobody was given a chance worked in our favour, and us being underdogs worked in our favour. Cliftonville had just went on and won the league, and the rumours, I remember always hearing. There was a song beforehand, we're going to win the travel or something, I guess, from Cliftonville, man. I think of that, I might be wrong on that, but I remember that season as well. That was the season the players didn't get paid. So again, I think that worked in our benefit as a team. I remember Nicky have to go and, speak in front of the media in terms of the situation players weren't getting paid and stuff like that. So it was a difficult season in terms of the finances. But on the Irish Cup day, I remember we went down, we were 1-0 down at half time. And I speak about this quite regularly, but I had that belief we were still going to win that game. People say, well, Cliftonville were flying at the time, just won the league. Why did you think that? I just thought with what we had been through as a team, if not getting paid, the financial troubles of the club was, and Eddie being manager against Cliftonville in the final, I just thought our name was on that trophy that year. And I remember the second half, I think Richard Clark of all people got sent off that game too. Ali Waddow were scoring too, and I think Jimmy Colliger, did he score?
He scored an extra time.
But even on that, obviously the semi-final, I remember being a weird kickoff team at 12 o'clock or something, or 11 o'clock at Windsor. The other thing I have to bet is Marcus Cain, because me and Marcus Cain travelled together. And Marcus Cain was, obviously, I was playing in front of Marcus, and Marcus was obviously then coming in. He's the future Glen Torn left back. And me and Marcus had to actually console each other at times, go into football and come back from football, because I was either taking his place or he was taking my place. And the greatest thing about that one was Marcus Cain scored the winner in the semi-final against Portadown, the header. But I remember being a weird kickoff, and I remember traveling to that game actually. And we had to drive over after a bit of a pre-match. Me near Killamark, me and Marcus in the motorway on the way over to Windsor on that day. Just something stuck in my head there. So we went on with that 1-0. And then the Irish Cup final, obviously with the issues that we had previously in terms of the payments and stuff like that. And then, you talk about celebrations. Well, I think me and Marcus celebrated for about 3 or 4 days that day.
Yeah, it was the celebrations that night were unbelievable. But you touched on the no wages thing. How difficult was that for you, especially at that stage? You were probably a senior player.
Well, players were coming to ask me. It was me. It was probably Nicky Elliott, Amay and people like that. I wasn't a senior player. It was difficult for us. It was difficult for, but we understood as well probably where Glentoran were financially. And I think communication from above could have been a bit better. And again, a lot of credit has to go to Addy because, you know, he was very good for the guys then too. But I think the one that stands out was Nicky, how he handled the media then and stuff like that. Difficult as players, but listen, once you're on a football pitch, you're not there worrying about wages and stuff like that.
Things sort of went from bad to worse off the pitch after that, because I know, speaking to Eddie, he felt that we had a really good team there. With young players coming through like Jim O'Hanlon and Marcus Keane starting to make a name for themselves. But then there was this sort of exodus of players, and we lost that season. We lost Andy Waterworth, Sean Ward, and Jimmy Callagher to Linfield, obviously, and then Stephen Carson also left, and Carl Nixon left. So what was it like, especially the three lads that went to Linfield at the time, as you as a player wanting to kick them on? What was it like for you?
Listen, I understand where Eddie's coming from, but I think a club, honestly, were probably glad. I think, you know, I don't know what wages we're on, but I think financially it helped the club out. Yes, obviously we want to kick on, make the squad stronger. Obviously losing that type and quality of player, you know, it was always going to be difficult.
And then when you sort of lose that type of player, are you sort of sitting thinking to yourself, are you questioning your future career, whether you win another trophy at the Glens, or what's going through your mind at that stage?
Yeah, after that, in the start of the next season, I remember coming home. I always took football home with me. And I had a wee girl, we won the league. She was on the pitch with me. I remember when we got beat, you know, my wife and wee girl couldn't come home till 10, 11 o'clock at night until I had settled down, or, you know, couldn't pick me up for football, so I could beat and stuff like that. So I was one of the ones that took football home with me. And I remember, but we were always challenging. And I remember signing for Glentoran under Roy Coyle, and you spoke about it briefly there. It was, you had to win the league or you had to win the Irish Cup. That was, there was no be all. You had to win a major trophy. And then obviously, or finishing Europe at the very, very least. And then I sort of started dwindling down, you know, expectations from within the team, obviously with the financial troubles, sort of started kicking in, and it was finishing the top six. And for me, being in the other teams where you had to win a major trophy or had to finish in Europe, I found that hard to comprehend of why Glentoran had to finish in the top six. I really found that difficult. And I also, coming home, you know, week in, week out. And again, it's nobody's fault at the club. You know, this is something probably now I'm more mature, should I handle better. But I found it very, very difficult coming home and, you know, not talking to my kids. You know, I have a new wee baby there, one just turned, you know, just born. And I found it very, very difficult even coming home. So I sort of knew, sort of halfway through that season, that maybe my time at Glentoran was up.
That was you were granted a testimonial that season.
Yeah.
What did that mean to you? I had Marcus Keane on the podcast recently, and he said that seeing you get your testimonial season and being part of that gave him fire in his belly to go and achieve the same thing for Glentoran. What did that mean to you getting that season?
Marcus was part of my committee, believe it or not. Marcus helped me out so much. I think Amy started shouting at me at the end, but you know, what did that mean to me? You know, it meant the world to me, but it meant the world to me because, you know, played for the club from when I was 16, and I remember saying to Annie, listen, the only chance of a testimony, I went and spoke to Stephen Henderson. I never thought I would get it because of the situation the club was in, but I got it. And, you know, looking at players who's had it before me, you know, Michael Halliday, Colin Nixon, Paul Eman, Elliot Myers, you know, and go on, you can write through the years, you know, to even be mentioned with them players, you know, it's a bit of a dream for me.
at the end of that season, then it was actually as low key as ever with yourself, to be honest with you. There's no big fanfare. You just sort of announced, with some Glen men present, I think it was in the Premier Lounge, that you were retiring at the end of the season.
Listen, there was a lot of things that there was a lot of things happening, and I was out of contract. Again, I thought I spoke about my home life, you know, taking football home with me. I was running the business. And I remember coming off the pitch in the last game. I can't even remember who we played the last game, where you go. And I remember just that Tiernan, I spoke to Tiernan previously, and it was sort of half 90% sure. And then it was announced in the changing room after the game. And I remember I always went upstairs after the game, win, lose, or draw, either for a coke or for a beer. And I was actually on my way out, and I said, I have to go up here. And I went up, and then I don't know how I ended up with the mic, but I remember sort of tears in my eyes and sort of said I was retiring. And then that was it. That was it up until the Glen started pre-season. And I remember Addy asked me to come over to train again. So I went over and done a few training sessions, and you know what, my heart probably wasn't, not that my heart wasn't in it, it was difficult. You know, there was no contract there was, and I remember Addy saying, like, play a game for me, and he named the whole squad, and then there was a bit of confusion because I wasn't the same player that I didn't show up for the game, and I think I explained that, so it was a total miscommunication for my parts. So at the start of pre-season, there was a wee chance of me playing for Glentoran. And I remember the club phoning me up and saying, listen, will you come and play? And I says, well, what's on the table? And I'm just going to be upfront and honest. And it says, pay as you play. And I remember supporters, before that, a supporter actually saying, Jason, come play again, give us one more year and I'll pay your wages. Not going to match it to his name, but I'm not going to embarrass him. And I remember that phone call on the Sunday afternoon, sitting in the house and saying, look, I'll give you a pay-as-you-play deal. And I found it a wee bit embarrassing on my behalf. And if he'd have said, Jason, if he'd have worded it differently and said, Jason, we're out of money, can you do us a favour and play? I would have played for nothing.
You had a really good season that year, actually, even in your last year. You're only 32. Do you sort of regret not staying on? You would have got another Irish Cup winner's medal, or do you think it was the right time to go?
I think, looking back, I've no regret going now. Obviously, when you see Glentoran and on the win the Irish Cup, you have feelings that you wish you'd been there. But I'd play in front of Marcus Keane that game, so I've been raging.
You after you left the Glens, you dabbled in the world of coaching. With Glentoran Seconds, the Welders, and Glenavon. Did you enjoy that?
Well, actually, funny story that me and Gary Hamilton, as everybody else, is very, very good friends. And sort of when all that stuff was going on with Glentoran in the background, Gary, in my ear, he wanted me to sign, and he said he had no budget. And believe it or not, I actually agreed to sign for Glenavon on the Thursday night. And I spoke to my wife and I says, I think I'm going to do it. And she says, well, if you're going to do it, put all your heart into it. And on the Thursday night, I agreed to deal with Glenavon. And then on the Friday morning, I woke up and I just didn't feel right. And I phoned Gary and I says, can I meet you? And I remember meeting him in a cafe in East Belfast. And he says, I know what you're going to tell me. I mean, I just can't do it. And I just can't do it. And listen, obviously after, you know, a few months, 6 months or whatever it was, he invited me up to help out with a bit of coaching with sort of the underage levels, the under 18s and the 20s at Glenavon. And then I was in out in the first team, you know, helping in there. I loved it. Glenavon was a great club, great people. Again, you had Wendy there, who I knew, you Kay Leeler, who I knew, obviously Gary. But again, great club. And I loved every minute of it. And then a good friend, Georgia Boyle, had been approached or got the job. Him and Big Mac got the job at the Welders. And again, with the East Belfast connection, they phoned me up and they said, would you come in to help us? And again, I loved every moment of it. We had our difficulties. And again, I think COVID just it's just about to hit or something. I think the Wilders were sitting in around 6th, 7th place. Had a couple of narrow defeats. Did I love it? Yes, I did love the coaching side of it. I loved the, again, it was being in the changing room, having a bit of crack within the changing room. But again, bringing that football home with you again, you know, sometimes it was difficult again, you know, getting beat. You know, just don't like getting beat.
Would you go back into coaching again, do you think? Or is it sort of in the back of your mind now?
It would have to be right for both parties. It would have to be 100% right for me and my family, and it would have to be right for the club. And I would have to make sure that was right.
Just finally, to wrap it up, Jason, how would you sum up your time at Glentoran overall? What does the club mean to you and the fans?
My time at Glentoran, loved every moment of it, looking back. Emotional, really emotional, a roller coaster. Privileged, honoured. What does the club mean to me? Listen, the club means the world to me. I owe a lot to Glentoran. I owe a lot to people at Glentoran for who I was to what I am now as a person, as an individual, as a family man. The fans, listen, I couldn't have got through my Glentoran career without the fans. The fans were absolutely fantastic to me from day one, right, even still now when I go to Yeovil. So a big thank you to all the Glen men.
Well, Jason, I just want to say thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for all your many years' service at Glentoran. You were a bit of an unsung hero sometimes, but you won the absolute heap. You won the Player of the Year award. You're a testimonial. There's not too many Glentoran players that can say that. So thanks for everything you've done for Glentoran, and hopefully see you around the Oval soon.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you. Good luck, lads. Thank you.
So there you have it. Another episode and another great guest. Jason Hill was a fantastic player for Glentoran, and he was a fantastic guest on the podcast. And you heard it from the horse's mouth. Born a blue man, but he's going to die a Glen man. And it's safe to say that he fairly changed his colours. There'd be no doubt about his commitment during his Glentoran career. An absolutely brilliant player for the Glens and a great, great guy. So thanks very much to Jason for agreeing to do the podcast. Good to hear from him, and really interesting to hear about parts of his career that we maybe didn't know about. I did say I was going to mention more about the Corryockey Foundation and what it is set up for. His family want to raise money in his memory so that his name will live on forever. They hope that this money that is raised will be able to go towards children to teach them how to swim, basically give them swimming lessons, so that the risk of this happening again, such a tragedy, is lessened. They also hope to provide CPR training for various families so that they know what to do in that sort of situation, which is something that is really important. I've been hearing a lot of this sort of thing and people not really knowing what to do in them situations, so that money will be well accounted for. They also hope to get some defibrillators out into the community to help save as many lives as possible in Corey's memory. And last but certainly no means least, they hope to be able to donate some money to the Eyre Ambulance, which they say is a cause and a charity really close to their hearts. So once I get those links from Jason, I will post them on my social media. I will post them on the Glentoran family page, various Twitter pages, forums. I'll mention it on the podcast and the build up to the marathon. Jason gives so many years of his life to Glentoran. He is doing something to help raise money for a really good cause, and hopefully all Glen men can get out there and support Jason one last time. So thanks very much once again for listening, and we will be back very soon with more great guests. Cheers.